It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, a guest says we can make ourselves happier by harnessing the power of our personal data. Learn how to hack our happiness.
First, voucher schools are on the rise around the country. They began here in Wisconsin in the early 90s and have since taken off elsewhere and are currently being considered in many more states. The voucher system allows public funding to go to private schools.
While these schools may get taxpayer money, state and federal departments of education don't necessarily have a say over what's taught in the classrooms of these schools.
The result is that as the number of voucher schools increases, so does the amount of public money going to fund schools that teach concepts like creationism and intelligent design, things generally not taught in public schools.
Politico reported on this trend today. Senior education reporter Stephanie Simon is here with us now to tell us about it. Stephanie, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you, Rob. Good to be here.
So it sounds like, in the midst of a boom in voucher schools. How big is the growth? Why is it growing so fast?
Well, the number of students who are attending schools on some type of voucher, who are attending private schools on some type of voucher or tax credit scholarship, is up about 30% just in the past few years. It's at 250,000 nationwide. So that's still just a small fraction of the total number of public school students in the U.S., but more and more states are considering these vouchers and these tax credit scholarships, and they're sort of a popular way for politicians to offer more choice to parents and give them more of a say of where their tax dollars are going.
I know that it varies some from state to state, but in general, how does public funding for these schools work?
Well, there's a couple different approaches. So you can have a straight voucher approach where the parents can apply for a voucher from the state that helps them pay tuition at a private school, and that comes directly out of the state treasury. Or you can have what's called a tax credit program, which is where individuals and corporations are encouraged to donate to nonprofits that then provide scholarships for students who are eligible for the vouchers. And in return for those donations, they get a substantial tax break. In many cases, they get 100% of their donation back on their taxes. So if you're an individual with a $2,000 state liability, you donate $2,000 to the scholarship organization, you wipe out your tax liability, and you may even make money because you can also claim that donation on your federal taxes and get a credit for that.
When the state or the federal government provide funding, do they keep say over the curriculum at these schools?
No, almost no say. And you're having a debate right now in Wisconsin over what kind of accountability measures should be in place for schools that accept vouchers. But in most states, students who accept these vouchers are not required to take the same tests as public school students, and the government doesn't retain a say over the curriculum. So the schools can teach what they want as long as they meet certain health and safety guidelines that the state sets.
So you found that in a lot of these schools, creationism or intelligent design are being taught, things that usually wouldn't be taught in public schools. How widespread is that?
Well, not only wouldn't they be taught, they're not supposed to be taught at all in public schools. That we've had decades of litigation on that question, and the courts have come down very firmly that public schools are not supposed to teach creationism or intelligent design because those are viewed as religious theories rather than academic theories. And so, but the private schools are free to do that, and there are hundreds of schools all over the country that receive public subsidies that do teach creationism. And what this story on Politico explains is that it's not just a matter of teaching during, one unit in biology class that God created the earth in 6 days. It's a creationist philosophy that goes across the whole curriculum and that encourages students to really distrust and seek to rebut all kinds of mainstream scientific views and even mainstream mathematical concepts like set theory. And it's a view that extends, from kindergarten through 12th grade across all subjects.
Objecting to math theories, why is that?
Well, there's a popular set of textbooks that doesn't include modern concepts like set theory because they hold that God established the laws of mathematics and we should stick with the ones that, in their view, are old and traditional and not fluid at all. And they don't like concepts like set theory that allow for sets of numbers to be self-contradictory and have different characteristics that, in their view, contradict the scriptural way of looking at numbers.
And supporters of vouchers being used this way say, hey, what's being taught in public schools is contrary to my values as a parent. Shouldn't it be my right to have the choice to send my kid to a school that teaches values we agree with?
Exactly. And they say, and they point out that, you know, they're paying taxes too to support public schools that are teaching things they disagree with. So turnabout is fair play, and people should be okay with funding their kids going to schools that teach values that they believe in. And as to the debate about how accountable they should be, whether kids should take the same kind of tests, supporters of vouchers generally say, you know, the school should be accountable to the parents, and presumably if they're giving kids a bad education or an inadequate education, parents will stop sending their children to those schools. So that's sort of the only check and balance that they want to see there.
Are we seeing pushback to the teaching of things like creationism and the other things you've mentioned in these schools?
Yes, it's a concern for people who are opposed to vouchers. So in a lot of states, for example, just in Florida, there was a huge battle just over the past few weeks over a plan to greatly extend and expand the voucher program there. They have a built-in escalator, so already without any changes in law, they're going to be vastly increasing the amount of money they spend on vouchers to send kids to private school, but proponents wanted to increase it even more. And creationism was one of the concerns that opponents raised, and they ended up winning and getting that further acceleration of the program killed just last week. So it is an issue that's coming up here and there in different states, and I think it'll be more prominent. Right now we have more than two dozen states right now considering expanding or enacting new voucher programs. And so this is going to be an issue that comes up in those debates as well, I'm sure.
That case, that issue you mentioned was in Florida. That was legislative. Are there court challenges to taxpayer funding of these schools that teach creationism and other things that have already been rejected in the courts for public schools?
Well, on the federal level, the U.S. Supreme Court has said that it's perfectly legal for tax money to flow to the private schools that teach creationism or religious schools in general, so long as the vouchers first go to parents. So parents, the money isn't going direct into the private school. It goes to the parents who then have to turn over the check to the private school. So the Supreme Court has said that's okay from a federal constitutional level, but from a state constitutional level, certain states have provisions that are much stricter than the federal constitution on this matter. So right now there's litigation going on in New Hampshire and Colorado and Alabama. The New Hampshire one, actually, the court's going to be hearing arguments on that in a couple of weeks, and that's contesting precisely this question of whether tax money can go to religious schools.
What's been the reaction from the scientific community or the science education community to these findings that more schools are using public money for this?
Well, you know, they're appalled and they're very concerned that students aren't getting the grounding in basic facts about the age of the Earth, the age of the universe, and the process by which, you know, humans came to be here, the long sweep of evolution over 4 billion years. And they're also concerned about the anti-science type views that are nurtured through these type of curriculums. And as I said earlier, it goes beyond just teaching this is the story of how we came to be here. They're really, if you look at the school websites, as I did, and if you look at their course syllabuses and textbooks and workbooks, threaded throughout it is just this sense that we can't trust the secular world, we can't trust modern discoveries. And that really disturbs science educators because they fear that, you know, the kids who learn this will carry that through in their life and be not only skeptical but hostile to mainstream science and mainstream views.
A lot of the impetus behind voucher schools and other alternatives to public schools has been, hey, we need competition because the public schools aren't always as high quality as we'd like them to be. The competition will boost that. Are parents seeking out these alternatives more for quality or more for some of the religious reasons you've been talking about?
Well, really, it's both. I mean, there were two fascinating studies in the past 6 months from the Friedman Foundation, which supports vouchers, and they asked parents receiving vouchers in Georgia and in Indiana what their reasons were for seeking out a private school and getting the state subsidies. And in both cases, better academics was virtually tied with religious education as the top reason for parents in Georgia, and better education was just a few percentage points over religious education in Indiana and way ahead of other topics, like other possible reasons like smaller classes, safer school, better discipline, those were all largely secondary to the idea that they would have better academics and also a stronger religious education that reflected their values.
Stephanie, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
We've been speaking with Stephanie Simon, senior education reporter for Politico. Her report on the public funding of religious education through the voucher system came out today.